Very dangerous prayer. Holy Spirit, come any way you want to. And we started praying that in January and prayed it every day from January till Mother's Day. And on Mother's Day morning, the Holy Spirit did something we didn't expect him to do. He came the way he wanted to and touched us. And we haven't prayed that prayer. Well, we have, but you know, it took me about a week before I could start praying it again, Pastor Brian. Pastor Brian is working right now on the Passion translation of the Bible. He was a Bible translator on the mission field in South America, and he's working on the Passion translation and just have released the latest book, which is the Book of Psalms, Poetry on Fire. And it's just literally hot off the press. Pastor Brian brought it with him a few days ago, and we're the first church in North America to get to distribute the book. And so if you'd like, you can stop by the Welcome Center and pick up a copy of Psalms, Poetry on Fire, and I think several of the other books that he has translated are out there as well. I want you to give your very best welcome this evening for our dear friend, Pastor Brian and Candace Simmons.
Thank you so much. Man, this is amazing. Day 13. Some of you fanatics are still here. That's crazy. We just want to thank Pastor Glenn and Denise and all of the team and the staff here at Harvest Time. They're making sacrifices that you don't even really fully realize. And they're doing it for the Lord, of course. But can we thank God together for them? Let's give them a big hand tonight. Come on. Give honor to whom honor is due. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for Pastor Glenn and his wonderful family. Thank you. Before I hand this drop-dead gorgeous bride of mine, you know, we just got married 40 years ago. It feels like it was just yesterday, doesn't it? We've had a blast for 40 years. Someday we'll bore you and tell you our stories. But, you know, before I do that, I want to honor some more people here tonight. First of all, we want to thank again those of you that are watching online. I'm sure we have some friends around the world that are watching, so God bless you. Just wave at them. Okay, we're waving at you online. Thank you for being a part. You are part of this meeting, and you're going to meet Jehovah Zappa before this night is over. Now, I also want to just thank God for all of the Harvest Time members. We have had amazing meetings here for 13 nights, and some of you, actually, I think some of you have not missed a single night. Whether you've missed one or not, it doesn't really matter. If you're a part of Harvest Time Church, would you stand, please? And the rest of us want to thank God for you. If you're on the floor, do your best to get up. Look at this. Thank you, Lord, for Harvest Time. Woohoo!
Well, I'm so glad to finally get here. I've only been here a few days, so I can imagine it's a lot of work to put this together. We are so thankful for the staff. It's so easy for us just to come in and enjoy, and that's what I've been doing. But, you know, it's a privilege to be here. My very first dream had to do with revival in New England. I saw a house that was being renovated, and I knew right away that that was a picture, an old house, a picture of New England being all gutted and being made anew again and fresh. And I know that's what the Lord wants to do with New England. I'm so happy that it's happening right here in New York. But we've seen it happen in Detroit. We were in Detroit, and I thought, oh, Lord, but New England, don't pass over New England. So we're so glad to be a part of what's happening here. We're so thrilled that God has come, and he's pouring out his Spirit on you. Yes, we say more, Lord. But I just want to say, last night I had a dream where I saw people on the outside under the, I guess you call it easement, the roof, the overhang. And they were wanting to get close in, but they were afraid to come in. And they wanted to be under the covering, but were afraid to come quite that close. So I just say, put down all your inhibitions and come in close. Don't be afraid what the Lord's going to do. In the Song of Songs, you see the Lord in the story. He comes in different forms and he comes in different ways. So sometimes we're not familiar. We serve a God that never changes, but he's always changing things, isn't he? So come and discovery tonight. God has some wonderful things for you. All you got to do is just open your heart and allow him to come in a greater way. And don't be afraid of what he wants to do. You know, I just love being together and how the Lord wants, he just wants to pour out. Just open your hearts. He's going to pour out different things to different people. And it may look different on one person than it does on another, but that doesn't matter, does it? He has something fresh and new for you. He has new mercies every morning. He wants to do a new thing in your life. He wants to do a new thing in my life. It's not just your lives, is it? It's about the leaders too. We want more of him too. So just come and let him pour into you a new, fresh breath. I heard the song the other night, breathe on me, Lord. So let the Lord just breathe a fresh breath on you. And don't be afraid of what he's going to do. He only gives his children good gifts, doesn't he? So allow him just to have his way in your life. No matter what it does, it's only going to do a good thing. I could just see more boldness, more love coming to you, more of hearing from what he has to say to you, healing coming to some. So it's going to be different things for different people. He's going to break off bondages off of others. So let the Lord do a good work in you tonight. Just don't be afraid and relax and let the refreshing of the Holy Spirit come to you. So love you, and I'm leaving tomorrow morning, but I'll be watching every night, believe me, because I want more of him, too. God bless you.
Thank you, honey.
Yes, Lord. That's the best wife I've ever had. I introduced her the other day as my first wife. She's just tremendous. Like Pastor Glenn said, be sure to check out Poetry on Fire if you think you can handle it. It's literally on fire. It's too hot to handle. We should have a disclaimer there, but pick up a copy on your way out, and if you're really nice, you'll pay for it. You know, tonight I want to share with you about laying hold of Jesus and how important it is that we lay hold of Jesus in these last days. Before I begin, would you be so kind? I know you've been up and down. You're probably like all cozy and your cushion's getting a little nice and toasty. But would you stand up for just a moment and lift your face to the sky? Some of you may feel drops of dew come upon your face tonight. The Lord is softening our hearts. The Lord himself is releasing something into the room tonight to get the softening of our face and our heart, the tenderizing, to get us tender to his Spirit. He really wants to woo us tonight. He wants to draw you so close, like a Klingon. He wants you to just cling on to him. He wants you to stick tight to his heart, to lay hold of Jesus for these last days. That's the challenge in front of us. So Lord, I pray now in the glorious name, the exalted name of the ascended Christ Jesus. I ask, Lord, that you would begin to open up the sky over this place tonight. Lord, that you would begin to swirl and release the very cloud of your presence. Overshadow us here tonight. Even as you came upon Mary and you overshadowed her, help us to carry like Mary, that we would carry the overshadowing presence with us. Lord, we want to release and dispense the glory wherever we go. But if we don't lay hold of you, we are empty, we are dry, we are barren. Oh, Lord, we are depressed, we're discouraged, we get sick and in bondage. But when we lay hold of you, oh, Jesus, the bliss, the exquisite joy, the intoxicating wine of your love, it overwhelms us. We want more of you. Not good sermons or good meetings and long meetings. We want you, Lord. We want you, Jesus. Come undiluted, unveiled in glory. Not the version we heard about as kids, but the real glorified Jesus. Come into this room tonight. Come and bring your overshadowing presence. If you would just come, Lord, and walk into the room, we would fall in love again. Hopelessly in love with the one who carried all our burdens. We love you, Jesus. Tell him you love him. Move those lips of yours. Come on. Come on. I've been kissed by love's lips. I'm telling you, I've been kissed by love's lips. I've been held by love's hand. And Lord, I pray that you would pour out something so powerful, the nectar of your glory, the very substance, the dew, Lord, that causes your people to be willing warriors in a day of battle, volunteering freely on the day of your glory. Lord, bring that overshadowing presence tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen. You can have a seat. Thank you. I hope you brought a Bible. Of course, some of you I know have it pretty well memorized by now, but if you have a Bible, I'd like for you to turn to one of the most intimidating, unread, ununderstood, bewildering, powerful books in all the Bible. The book of Isaiah. And I want you to turn to the shortest chapter in the book of Isaiah. It's chapter 4. Just 4 verses, or 6 verses. Somewhere in between 4 and 6 verses. Isaiah chapter 4. Laying hold of Jesus in the last days. Do you have it? If there's somebody near you, you might let them look at it, because the verse I'm going to read, they're not even going to believe it. This verse was on the wall of every Bible college bachelor. This is the bachelor's verse of the Bible. Are there any bachelors here that would be so bold? You've not bit the dust yet. I mean, come on. Last man standing. There are some bachelors here. There's a few of them, you know, like, all right. I want to read to you the bachelor's verse. You ought to claim this. You ought to write it out, put it on your mirror, memorize it. It's verse 1. Isaiah 4, verse 1. Are you ready? Are you sitting down? In that day, everybody say that's today. In that day, 7 women will take hold of 1 man. What? This is the Bible. This is the holy. It has holy in front of it. How did this verse get in here? In that day, 7 women are going to take hold of 1 man. You know, there's coming a day, my friend, when the church of Jesus Christ, by the way, how many churches are there in the book of Revelation? Does it mention there in chapters 2 and 3? How many? 7 churches. You know, the church is feminine. Did you know that? It's a bride. And throughout the Bible, when God speaks of his people, he speaks of them as his beloved bride, his bridal people. Hosea 2:14 says, you're not going to call me master any longer. You're going to call me husband. You're going to call me bridegroom. The day's coming, you'll not call me boss. You're going to call me lover. 7 women is a picture of the last day's church of Jesus Christ is going to lay hold, not of their doctrines, not of their methodology, not of their pet projects, not of their buildings, budgets, nickels and noses, and it's going to be one man. I'm prophesying to you, a new Jesus movement is about to be birthed here in the New York, Connecticut frontier. God is about to give birth to a brand new movement. You can call it Jesus only, Jesus forever, Jesus is it, whatever you want to call it. But the church, the brides, the seven women is an allegorical picture, a metaphor of a people that are going to lay hold of Jesus in the last days. We know perilous times are coming. We know that there are imminent signs of doom around the nations, whether it's economic, whether it's, you know, nuclear issues or plagues or diseases or earthquakes. Let's see what you would have said if you were in Christ Church when that horrible earthquake hit. And yet, in the midst of all this, there is going to be a people that don't fixate and focus on the doom and gloom and the negative and what the world is calling judgment. The church is going to say it's glory. No, it's horrible. And the church says, no, it's Jesus coming for a bride. And the kings and leaders and judges and rulers are all going to counsel together to see how they can solve things without God. And the church is going to come together around one man, Jesus Christ. And we're going to say, we don't care if we have anything as long as we have you. Just take away our disgrace. Look at it here in verse 1. It says, we'll eat our own food, we'll provide our own clothes. We just want to be called by your name. Aren't we called Christians? To be called by his name? Just take away our disgrace. There is coming a movement of the Holy Spirit where we begin to put our soul in front of Jesus. And we actually don't care who's speaking, who's holding the microphone, who the hot dude is on the piano. Did I say that? That's almost a... I sure didn't mean that, Dan, in any way other than to bless you. But it doesn't matter, you know, about, well, look, we're going to have one supreme passion, and it's Jesus. It's already starting with some of you. Some of you drove a long ways tonight. Some of you have been coming night after night because there's a passion and a longing for something. And it's like, I don't care about whether I miss a meal to come. I don't care about whether I have to park here or there. I want to come because I'm in love with Jesus. There's going to be a people that will lay hold of Jesus in these last days. I'm going to come back to Isaiah later before midnight, but I want you to know that there's a lot in the Bible about laying hold of Jesus. In 1 Timothy 6:12, it says, lay hold of eternal life. Lay hold onto eternal life. And Jesus is eternal life. To lay hold of Jesus is to lay hold of eternal life. Some of you have fear of death. Some of you have fear of dying. And that's, you know, a pretty legitimate fear. If you're going to fear something, that would be legit. Because you are going to die. It is coming. We can postpone it. But God himself has appointed unto men once to die. Afterwards, the judgment, we stand before him. But to lay hold of Jesus obliterates the fear of eternity. To lay hold of him, we enter into eternal life, not after we die, but when we receive and take him and hold him and embrace him. I want to be found, you know, laying hold of Jesus. You come to my funeral, I'm telling you, I'm going to put Jesus on my hand. I'm going to lay hold of him. And you can look in the casket and say, there he's still hanging on. I want to let go of everything else. You know, letting go is not an easy thing. I remember when my wife and I were tribal missionaries and we had to go like 5 days to get into our village through a number of different rivers and boats. And we took a banana boat for a while, a larger, you know, the motor just
struggle like that, you can't hardly sleep at night. And it took a couple days to get us up to a place called Yavisa in the Darien province, where Colombia and Panama come together, right in that region there. And we unload there with, as they began to load that boat up with bananas and go back to the city to sell their produce. And then we unloaded our stuff and we were going up river. My wife, my favorite wife and I and our three kids, and our youngest was, I believe 5 months at the time. She'll give you the corrected version later, but around 5 months. So little David, who's now 30 something, and our daughters that were 7 and 6 at the time, as I remember, the five of us got into a dugout canoe. A dugout canoe means it's one tree that was hollowed out, and then you sit in it, and they push you into the water, and you get up the river, and it's not easy, loaded down to the gills with stuff. So we put all of our things there, and start to pull out our canoe into the river. And I noticed that it had rained a lot. But you know, we no sooner within seconds, we got out into the river within our canoe. And I look to my left, never forget it. I see it even in my mind right now. Look to the left, and here is a wall of water racing down the river. I mean, with trees, not branches, entire trees bobbing, huge trees. And this wall of water came on us like a tsunami, picked us up, dumped us all out into the river. My favorite wife, myself, our three kids, 5-month-old baby. And the last thing I remember, wasn't the last thing, but the next thing I remember, I looked over, I'm going down under the water, and I looked over to make sure my kids were okay, because we just were flung into the water. And here's Candace holding David out of the water so he wouldn't drown. And, it seemed like forever. It was like an amusement park ride with no amusement. And we were going down this, we were in the river, and we're going fast, and trees were going by me. And I looked over at the riverbank, and I noticed the huts that are normally 30 feet up the bank. The bank itself is 30 feet, and then the hut is on stilts. And I remember looking up and just seeing the little top pinnacle of the hut. This river was huge. And I'm thinking, we're going to go all the way to the ocean, and they'll never find us. They'll just put a, plaque out there somewhere, throw a lei or flowers out into the ocean where we once were. And one by one, I was able to swim over, and I got Joy, our youngest daughter, who's now pastoring Gateway with her husband, and our oldest daughter, Charity, and I got them up to the overturned canoe, and then I went after Candace and David, and they eventually got over to the canoe. So here we are, all of us on this slippery bottom of the canoe, trying to hang on. We weren't sitting on it. We were just holding on to it barely as we were racing down the river. Everything we had was lost. Do you think I cared anything about letting go of any of that? I'm talking about cameras, nice stuff, all of our food and supplies for months. We were really going to go native now. And it was like angels from God rescued us. These beautiful black men got in tiny canoes. And there was nobody living out in that part of the jungle. But one by one, they would come and rescue our family and saved us. And we just finally, before the night was over, we reunited because we were strung out for miles along the riverbank and hugged each other and embraced and just wept together that we were alive. There's something better than holding on to things. There's something better than holding on to religion. So there's some people that lay hold of ministry and they think that's their life. They lay hold of their career. I finally got the job I wanted. I finally got the house I wanted. I finally got the wife I wanted. Had to go through a few, but I finally got her. Finally got. Things are starting to work for me. And then the revival meetings break out, and you slip into the revival meeting, and you go, oh my God, you're telling me I'm going to have, you're going to have to let go of it all. You know what revival costs? Everything. If you really want the fire of God, and you really want the awakening spirit to come upon you,
not just on a Friday night meeting, but when life is rough and it's people are clumsy around you and situations are difficult, what are you going to do? You're going to have the fire burning in your heart, but it's because you've laid a sacrifice. You paid the price. You've set it aside. Yes, Jesus paid it all. Bro, I know that. I'm translating that verse. I understand it. But tell me what it is. It is finished. It has to do with your salvation, but there's some working things out. There's some praying things through. There's some laying some things down that God is asking of you here. There's coming a day when a new Jesus movement, too hot to handle young people, men and women that no longer care about what the world gives them. Money can't buy them. Lust won't turn them aside. They won't be shaken by the affairs of this fallen planet. They're not going to be moved by bad news and difficult pressures around the nations. They're going to have a heart fixed on Jesus. They're going to smile. They're going to laugh. They're going to rejoice. Even when they're beaten, even when they're abused and thrown in jail, they're going to love Jesus Christ. I remember in India when we were ministering there one time, the guy, the pastor that was taking us around, he had to take us up into Jaipur, which is, northern India, and it's totally different than a little bit more Christians down south, but up in the northern part, there's not a whole lot, and we were driving a long drive, and the car was all black, and the windows were super black, and you could not, he would not let me roll the window down, and I'm, I said, why can't I roll the window down? He says, I don't want anybody to see you. I said, why? He said, well, they would kill you. They would stone our car or they would pull us over and kidnap us. I said, oh, okay. So I got him to talk a little bit. I said, well, that's probably a good idea. I'll just buy more deodorant at the next place. But I got him to talking a little bit. And such a godly, precious pastor. And he finally admitted to me that he had been persecuted for the Lord. You had to drag it out of him. They didn't even want to talk about it. To them, it's nothing. It's just part of being a Christian. And I said, well, what happened? He says, well, they burned my church down and scattered all my people and beat me and knocked my teeth out. And that was after hours to try to get him to tell me. And I'm sitting there thinking, here I am, going to my meeting, get up, take the microphone, do the cool meeting, go back into a jet plane, maybe get upgraded and go back to my land. And here they are paying that price. I think of the missionaries that were with me in the jungle. I was one of the leaders in our field, and I had the privilege of placing green missionaries, those new to the field. I'd take them and put them into the jungle villages where I felt they would be best suited after some testing and some, profiling, and we'd go through issues with them and talk and let them meet the different stations, etc. And I would end up placing them. Well, I handpicked the best missionaries I'd ever met to be our partners, not realizing that they were going to be killed. Shortly after we left, our village was overrun by Colombian guerrilleros, drug cartel, bad people. Automatic weapons drug our missionaries, the men, out of the village, into the jungle, and eventually killed them and just discarded them like trash out in the jungle somewhere. Bodies never were found. There's a price in revival. And that price, it becomes like nothing when you lay hold of Jesus. After you've laid hold of him, you don't even want to talk about what it may have cost. You don't like the pastor in the car, he didn't even want to talk about being beaten and his church being burned down and everything he had built being taken from him. Why? Because he had laid hold of Jesus. Paul in Philippians 3:12 says that I want to lay hold of that for which I have been laid hold of. I want to possess the purpose for which Christ
possesses me. In other words, I want to fulfill the dream of God for my life. And I want to lay hold of that because he fulfilled every dream I've ever had. That's kind of a goofy paraphrase, but because he's done everything for me, I want to lay hold of all he has for my life. I believe before we leave tonight, Jesus is going to be alluring, attractive, radiant, and beautiful in a way you've never seen him before. As the shimmering presence of the Lord comes into this room, and your heart breaks open, cracks right open, and you begin to see this beautiful Jesus, you want to lay hold of him forever. The intoxicating greatness of Jesus is the best anesthesia for what's coming. You won't care. You won't care when Jesus, when you're holding him. You know, the disciples, they were taken in front of the authorities and they were questioned and interrogated. And the interrogators looking at them said to each other, these guys, these bros they're unlearned, ignorant fishermen. They're nobodies. But they had been with Jesus. There was something supernatural about their lives that could only be described and accounted for by the presence of Jesus. And I believe the overshadowing of Jesus is to come upon us tonight. I believe he wants to overshadow us in such a way that we begin to cast his shadow. He's bigger than we are. So when we walk, suddenly the Jesus shadow, you know, brings healings to people like it did with Peter. The overshadowing of his presence, it will both stir up the spirit realm, but it'll also soothe the hearts of men. There's something about this intoxicating, glorious Jesus. 1971, August the 8th, I made that decision to become a Jesus freak. And I decided, you know, I'm going to be as passionate for this man as I have been to pursue darkness and evil. I want more of a passion to pursue life, light, glory, honor, integrity, wisdom, virtue, purity, holiness than what I had pursued in the past. And I don't tell anybody anymore about my past because my grandkids may hear about it and they wouldn't believe it. Not my grandpa. And besides, it's getting harder to remember. No, I'm taking my Gingkoba. It's just that you don't remember. I mean, that's not who you are. You know, the Christian does not have a history. You only have a destiny. Your history ended 2,000 years ago. You don't have a history. So when people want to remind me of my history, they had to go to hell to find it. They smell like sulfur when they're talking to me. I know where you've been. You didn't get that from God. Who is he that accuses you? Will God accuse you? No. He sent Christ to die for us. Will Jesus Christ condemn us? Never. Why? Because he took nails for us. He went to hell for us so we could live forever in heaven with him. Will the Holy Spirit, will he come? No, he will not accuse or condemn us. He'll convict us, rightly so. We need it. But he won't condemn. But that sulfur breath of demonic power, and it sometimes comes through human voices, it is nothing but a faint reminder of a history that no longer exists. Destiny clings to you. There's a glistening glory that's upon you. Angels see it. Demons see it. And those anointed in the Holy Spirit will see it as well. There's something different about you because you have been with Jesus. Wouldn't you like in the next few days and weeks that people say, I know you. You've been in those revival meetings. There's something on you that is fire. It's something burning. It's something real. It's something like Jesus. Our friend Bill Johnson went to go buy a cell phone and he describes it and he says, God leaked out. And as he went to go to the counter to pick up his cell phone, the guy fell out in the spirit. Bill's just wanting a cell phone.
He's a pastor from California that, you know, operates and teaches around the glory realm, and I've heard from Heidi Baker, of times she'd be in a restaurant and people one table, even two tables over, would start to swoon. And she'd look over and say, "What's the matter?" And they said, "Jesus is here." They felt the presence of Jesus. Didn't know who this lady was from Eve. I want God to leak out of me. You know, it's worth being broken if He leaks out. I want any way you want to, Holy Spirit. I want you to come and do anything you want with my life. You know, I've lost a couple of good careers because of the Holy Spirit. When He leads, you follow. And I'm not kidding. But it's so worth it to lay hold of Jesus. What about Mary in the garden, at the garden tomb? She had to see the empty tomb. And she ran to the gardener. Isn't it interesting? Jesus really is a gardener. And she ran to the gardener and she just said, "Sir, where have you laid the body? Where have you taken him?" And he said the word Mary. She understood, because he came in a way she wasn't used to, like he does with you many times. Even pops up in your dreams and you just think it's something else. You don't realize it. But she realized this was Jesus. She lay hold of him. It says that she clung to him. I mean, dude, she really clung to this man. She's not going to let go. And he begged her and said, "Mary, Mary," as he's prying her fingers off of his legs. "Mary, Mary, I have got to go to the Father. I've not even," you know, he rose up 6 feet, but he hadn't gone 6 billion light years yet. He had to go to the Father. "Mary, let go of me." She wasn't going to let go. Wouldn't you like to lay hold on Jesus so tightly that he has to like plead with you to let go? Well, here we are at harvest time. We're laying hold of you, Jesus. And he has to say, "You know, guys, I really like these meetings, but would you let me go over to Rhode Island? Would you let me go to Maine? And Delaware, Massachusetts kind of needs me." I want to lay hold of him like that. And then there's a Shulamite. You know what a Shulamite is, don't you? Shulamite's a lover of God. The Hebrew word for Solomon, the Hebrew word for Shulamite, the root word is the same Hebrew root word, one masculine, one feminine. Jesus, our King. And you and I, the lovers of God, the Shulamite, we are one spirit with Jesus. The Song of Songs is a beautiful, exquisite love story. It's all about lovers. The only people who are going to last in the last days, the only people who are going to make it are lovers. Religious workers are going to quit. They're going to burn out. You know, carrying the heavy yoke of religion, you're going to quit. Go get therapy somewhere. It's too heavy, too hard. But lovers, they won't quit. Thank God my wife's never quit on me. 40 years. 39 of them are really good. She hasn't... Oh, it's the first one. It was the first year. Anyway, but she hasn't quit. Why? Because she's a lover. You're not going to go very far in the flames of revival without passion for Jesus, without love for Him. It's laying hold of Jesus. It's not getting a goosebump. It's not coming even and falling over. It's not attending a really hot meeting. It's not getting the latest novel doctrine or teaching. It is laying hold of Jesus. It's not hyped up preachers. We've had that, haven't we? It's not just making promises that don't ever happen. It is laying hold of Jesus, who completes everything he ever speaks to us. Every whisper of his mouth releases life-giving promises, the love apples of truth. But Jesus never disappoints. He never fails. I've fallen in love with him. Do you love him tonight?
This is the invitation tonight to come and lay hold of Jesus. I had a lot more I wanted to say, but I think I'm going to get out of the way because I really feel that it's time for you to do what you came for. And that's to lay hold of Jesus. So let me set this up before you come forward or anything. But guys, I want you to give vent to the deepest well of passion in your heart for Jesus Christ. I want you to love him and long for him with cravings and desires that are sick. I mean, love sick desires. Do you know what I mean when I talk about love sickness? I'm love sick. I'm heart sick with these cravings, these unending cravings for you. I'm quoting one of the Psalms I translated. Forgot which one. But to have these cravings and longings and desires that we all have, don't deny it. You've got them. Actually, you're going to focus it somewhere. My quest here tonight is that you would bundle up these passions in your heart and you would, like a laser beam, you would lay hold of Jesus. You would put them right on Jesus, Jesus only. It's like the Mount of Transfiguration. You remember when the cloud finally did lift off of the people that were on the top of the mountain, the voice said, "This is my son, hear him only. Listen to him." It isn't Moses and Elijah. It's Jesus. It isn't Peter, Paul, and Mary. It's Jesus. To lay hold of him is life eternal. It's healing. I've been in meetings where the glory was just so thick. And it's always a Jesus meeting. It's a meeting where Jesus is lifted up. Say the word Jesus. Have you ever heard a sweeter word than that? Oh, let's say it again. Oh. Oh my. Jesus. He's come to me. He's come to me a few times. You know, he's even taken me there. I was taken into the throne room one time. And I saw the throne. And it was so strange. It was so far, but close at the same time. I cannot explain the dimensions, but that's the truth. And instantly I came closer. I didn't even walk. I was just brought right up in front of Jesus. And he began to speak. And I didn't hear a single word that he spoke. It was like my ears were dull and I couldn't hear him. And I began to weep. Here I am, wasting a good encounter with Jesus. I can't even hear what he's saying. He saw that I was not understanding. So he wrote what he wanted me to know. He wrote it on a scroll. Kind of like on the cover of the book. He wrote on a scroll the message he wanted me to hear. And then he handed it to an angel. The angel's name was Mark. So if you're here, Mark, you've got a good friend in high places. So the angel brought me this scroll. And as I opened up the scroll, it said, Philippians 1:21. "For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain." You just get more of him. When you die to stubbornness, some of the things, the mentalities of how you think God should have worked in your life, the disappointment of why 2012 hasn't been the year you thought it would be, and why the troubling of your heart took place and the disappointment over this and that. To die is gain. not at your funeral. That's, oh, come on, man. You can do it now. You can gain more. Let go of what's in your hand. That's what he said to Moses. Let go of what's in your hand. Tonight, you're going to lay hold of Jesus. Healing. If you need healing, it's going to come. If you have panic attacks, anxieties, insomnia, if you have fears, some of those fears are like almost crazy fears that don't make sense. If you have a heart that cannot seem to be at rest or at peace, I'm telling you to lay hold of him. You're going to hear him say, just be still. Receive my spirit. Tonight you're going to lay hold of the most beautiful, glorious man. A friend, a king, a lover, a champion. My hero is coming to the rescue. The hero king. The hero king is coming to Connecticut. The glory king is coming to New York. Is there anyone that wants to lay hold of him? Would you rise up out of your seat, lift your hands to the sky, and say, Lord, I want to lay hold of you tonight. If I could lay hold of you, if I could touch you like the woman with the issue of blood, the hemorrhaging, precious woman for many years suffered. And she pressed her way through the crowd and she said, if I could just touch once, if I could just lay hold of even the hem, the fringe of the tallit. If I could touch that fringe, just the hem would bring healing to me. Imagine what an embrace. Some of you need to be healed from not wanting to hug because Jesus is coming to get one tonight. Listen, type A alpha dog male. Jesus is coming. Don't put that machismo in front of him. He's going to hug life into you. He's going to hold you till you stop kicking. Who wants to lay hold of Jesus tonight? Simple word, simple message. But the Lord told me to bring it to you. If you have to lose everything. And I've talked to people recently that said they're losing everything financially. I said, well, you know, it says the poor are rich in faith. So you have an opportunity to have the greatest wealth of all, which is great measures of faith. I've lived with the poorest of the poor. For months, we ate nothing but bananas and rice, and we'd mix it up with rice and bananas. And I'm telling you, they taught me so much. It's okay to let go of stuff. It's okay to let go. Some of you, relationships are getting all shifted in this renewal or revival because some people don't share your values and it's causing like a little bit of a mental collision inside of you. How am I going to navigate this? Let go and let Christ, let him work that out. Let him sort it out. You're not going to do a better job than Jesus. He doesn't need another Holy Spirit. You're not it. The one he has is perfect. Tonight, you're going to lay hold of him. So why don't you come up with hunger, with passion. Men and women, lovers of God, seekers, friends. Those of you that have walked with Jesus for a long time. Those of you that are just starting your journey. Those of you with doubts, those of you with fears, that's okay. Just come. Come and lay hold of him.
We're going to worship for just a moment, and then we'll see where we go. It's still early. It's holiday weekend, guys. Just press on in, guys. Come and find a spot. Whoa. Let's sing any song that has the name Jesus in it. As long as it has Jesus in it, I want to sing it. Jesus. Oh, Jesus. I love Him. I'm sorry, guys. I'm not here for you, guys. I'm really here for Him tonight. I really love Jesus. Not making apologies. I really love Him. Everyone in my family had nothing to do with me when I came to Jesus. My father was running for mayor of our city, and he had a reputation. And then his dope-dealing son suddenly becomes a Jesus freak. He didn't want anything. My parents, my brother, decorated war veteran, didn't want anything to do with me and my Jesus. Let me tell you, every one of them got saved. Every single one of my family, down to my cousins, nephews. You get in my family, bro, you're going to come to Jesus. You're going to come to Jesus. If you're really burdened for your family, you get more of Jesus. That's all you need. Don't worry about them. It's you, my friend. You come and get more of this exquisitely beautiful, glorious Jesus. Intoxicating, overwhelming Son of God. Then you become radiant. You become winsome. You can win your family to Jesus if you lay hold of Him. Whatever goal, whatever ambition, whatever burden, I'm telling you, this is the meaning of life. This is the meaning of life. This is it. So let's sing Jesus something.
Jesus.
Oh, that's a good one.
Lamb of God,
I love you, Lord.
Worthy is your name.
Sing it.
Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is. Oh, come on, let's lift up Jesus. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy. Jesus, Lamb of God,
come on, everybody under 100, let's sing it.
Oh, Jesus, Lamb of God.
We love you, Lord.
Oh, worthy is Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy. You're worthy. Sing Jesus, Jesus. Worthy, worthy, worthy. Oh, Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is.
Come on, set your heart on Him.
Oh, Jesus, Lamb of God.
He's all you need.
Oh, worthy is your name. Oh. Jesus, oh, Lamb of God. Is your name worthy? Is your name worthy? Is your
have Jesus than revival. I mean, you get revived when you have Jesus. Awaken, my love. Jesus awakens the soul. He revives us. Arise, my darling. Arise, my love, he says. Come away with me into the cloud-filled chamber of delight. Into the garden of bliss. Into the place of love.
Is your name.
Arise.
Worthy is your name.
Just tell him how much you love him. Oh, come on.
Jesus.
The angels are here. Holy Spirit, come. Jesus, overshadow us. We want to lay hold of you, Lord. We want to cling. We want to grasp and seize you. Oh, oh, oh God. Holy hedonists that have to have Jesus. Oh, Lord. More. My lovely, delightful King. I bless you. I love you. I want you. I want you. Lift me up, Lord, and lead me out. Bring me in where I lay hold of you, Lord. I just want to lay hold of you. I want to lay my hands on you. I want to lay my hands and I want to lay my head on your heart, Lord. I want to lay my head on your heart, Lord Jesus. I want to lay my hands on your shoulder, Lord Jesus. I want to give you my love. I want to give you my love. I want to give you my heart, oh Lord. More and more and more and more. I'm telling you, it's going to get really thick here if we'll keep going. This is better than somebody laying hands on you, bro. This is better, I'm telling you. You lay hands on him right now. Lay hands on Jesus. Come on. Lay hold of him. He's accessible. He's street level. He's right where you are. He's willing. And he's ready. Come, my beloved. Come right in. Come. Whoa. Okay. Close your eyes. You're going to the throne room. Just close your eyes and come with me. Set your heart on Jesus. Set your eyes on him right now. If you feel like you're going to fall over, just sit down, since there's no catcher behind you. But for many years, I would pray 4 and 5 hours with the Lord as a pastor. I wanted his presence. And I started going into the blue. Let me explain. I don't know how to describe it. You can close your eyes and your ears will listen. But what happened was I would pray and suddenly I would see this deep, deep blue. Not sky blue, sapphire blue. Deep. More royal than royal blue. Deep, deep blue. And I didn't know what it was. And after praying months more, every day like that, because I start to feel like I'm going into the blue. I said, you know what? I'm going to go into the blue. I want to find out if it's you in the blue. And suddenly, I was taken into the throne room. Heaven is not just a location. It's moving now into an experience. There will be men and women on the earth who carry heaven, who release heaven, that are citizens of glory. I want to live in the thin place where the two meet, earth and heaven, earth and sky. I want to live in that thin place, don't you? Come on with me. Come on in the holy journey. The holy journey. your prayers are going to be different after tonight. Your thoughts of Jesus are going to be different. Some of you are going to have, immediately, you're going to have dreams, unbelievable dreams, visitations and trances that are always common in a visitation. Always, always common in a visitation of the Holy Spirit. Because all that we need is in His realm. And I just hear Jesus saying these words tonight. I came into your world. Now come into mine. Come into my world. Into the realm where I live. Come and lay hold of me. Wow. Phew. I'm just going to leave you right there. So just stay right where you are. You're in the blue. You're in that place. Tenderness. I want to lay hold of you. My friend. My lover. My glorious lover. You say, why do you use that word lover? I don't know. It's the best one I came up with. He's a lover to me. He's the lover of my soul. Only a lover would bleed to death for me. Only a lover. Only a lover. Oh. Oh. Only a lover would endure the emptying of the cross. For me. For me. So until I find another term, lover works for now. Tell him right now, you're my lover. Wow. Wow. My lover. My darling. My lover friend. My glorious one. Glorious, my breathtaking, jaw-dropping, majesty king, glorious one, transcendent, exalted, radiant and sparkling, dazzling in your glory, unbelievable in your majesty. Oh, oh. Take a moment and tell Jesus. If you whisper it, it's okay. Don't shout it, but whisper it perhaps. And just tell Jesus everything you like about Him. Start with His love. Ready, set, go. And just start telling Jesus everything you like about Him. Thank you for not giving up on me, Jesus. Thank you for your faithfulness, your endless love. Jesus. Jesus. Jesus.
Feel your heartbeat.
Love is so deep, it's more than I can stand.